Hi, this is Pastor Austin from Connection Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to know more about our services, you can go to connectionnyc.com or check us out at connectionnyc on Instagram. Hope you enjoy it and hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Pastor Austin. So I know that as he was praying, the distractions, we're in a new place. There are new procedures we're doing. And I wanted you to know that I am very aware of what time it is. I don't want you to be distracted thinking that I'm going to keep you here really long, because I'm fully aware. I have an internal clock like none other. It's probably the feature I'm most proud of in my, other than my humility, is I know what time it is. So this is going to be a shorter sermon. So just trust me and just dig in, because what I'm going to say is going to be pretty succinct, but I think it's going to be good for us. If you would join me in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The next week we're going to start a new sermon series that's going to take us about 8 weeks out, and I'm super excited about that one. This week I wanted to share with us about following Jesus. Very simple message. Following Jesus. That's what God is calling us to do. You maybe think that being a leader is more important. I want to be a leader so that people would follow me. Well, there are many people, including Aristotle, who said that if you want to be a good leader, you need to be a good follower. In fact, he said he lived back in the 4th century before BC. He said, he who cannot be a good follower cannot be a good leader. So instead of rushing to the finish line and declaring yourself to be a great leader, take time to be a good follower and learn important skills along the way so you don't lose yourself. One of the things that you may be thinking of is like, I don't want to be a leader. I just want to be a follower. What great news. You don't have that obstacle to get past. We're going to see today how we can be a good follower of Jesus. We are called to follow Jesus, whether we're called to be a leader in the church or in our jobs, or whether we're called to be a right-hand man or woman, or whatever it is, a supportive role. We are all called to follow Jesus. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? In chapter 5 of Ephesians, verses 1 and 2, we're only looking at these two mainly today. And it says this, follow God's example. Remind you who's writing this letter. This is Paul, who is writing from prison. So he's in prison for what? For preaching the word of God. He didn't take money from the vendors at Governor's Island illegally and get thrown in prison, right? He was doing what God called him to do. He was following Jesus, and he puts in jail. He gets put in jail for following Jesus. So he's there writing these beautiful, this is one of the letters he wrote from jail. So he says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. The word follow here in this first verse literally means imitate. What you see me doing, do. Do what you see me do. It just means imitating. It means we are to study who Jesus is, get to know him, and emulate his life. Paul talks to us as dearly loved children. And it made me think of, there's a scene in a movie from 1975, which only a couple of us are old enough to even have seen that in a movie theater. Probably weren't even old enough to see it in the movie theater. Because our parents wouldn't let us watch it because it was rated R. But Jaws, was it rated R? I don't know if it was rated R. It doesn't matter. Moving forward, PG? Okay, all right. It was scary, though. It should have been R. I still can't go on the ocean without thinking, na 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 na. And so in 1975, it was the first summer blockbuster ever. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it is the beginning of summer blockbuster movies. And there's a scene, so spoiler alert, is there's a shark killing people, okay? I know, it's crazy. So there's Sheriff Brody, who's the hero of the story, and he's purposed to go out and save people and kill this shark. But there's the stress just weighing him down. He's overwhelmed. He's about to have a breakdown. He's turning to alcohol, and he's just in a bad way. He's sitting at the dinner table at the end of the table, and his son is sitting right here to the side. And the dad is just picking up a drink and drinking it, doing things with his hand. And if you look over to the side, his little boy, he's probably 5, 6 years old, something like that, maybe younger, little kid, is just imitating him. Everything his dad does, he does. And it's a really cool scene. Well, after a few moments of that, the father, Sheriff Brody, looks over and he notices his son is doing this. So he starts to have fun with it and does little things and ends up making faces. And it's just a really endearing scene. And for those few fleeting moments, Sheriff Brody was removed from all the stress of what was going on, and he was connecting on this personal level with his son. It was endearing to him. And he leaned into his son and he says, "Come here." And so the son leaned in and he said, "Give us a kiss." And he said, "Why, Dad?" He said, "Because I need it right now." And the son leaned in and gave his daddy a kiss right on the cheek right here. Very sweet, tender moment. Kids naturally imitate our parents. Not just the good either. We naturally imitate the bad we see in our parents. As we get older, this is who Paul... So Paul is writing to them, "My dearly beloved children." But he's not writing to babies, infants. He's writing to adults. And so as we mature in our faith, instead of just naturally imitating what we see our parents do, the good and the bad, it becomes our purpose and our endeavor to choose what we imitate. And God is saying, "Follow my example." We are free to choose who we will imitate. So we are called to follow God's example. And the first way we do that is to walk in love. We've got 3 points today. We're going to walk in love, and we're going to love because Christ first loved us, and we're going to love the way Christ loved us. So we'll get to those in a minute. But the first one is that we walk in love. We live in this life of emulating and being in God's love. And so that goes back to verse 2. "And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." This is what we're to do. We're to walk and to live and to go in this love. And this love is not just the love that we create or what the world says is and isn't love, but it's a very specific love. It's God's love that we're to walk in, not any other kind. Romans 5:5, which is another letter that Paul wrote, says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." So the first thing, to walk in love, means that you are in the love of God, which means God's love is now in you. The way we do that is by receiving what God has done for us. We are to walk in the love of God. We have to receive the love of God. We have to understand we need the love of God. And then we live in that. We receive what he's given to us. The second one, so your life needs to be characterized by God's love. The second one is this: we love because of Christ's love. The only way we can walk in God's love is because God has chosen to give that to us through Christ. This is a very humbling thing that I can't earn. I'm saying this out loud. I would never say this out loud, but here's what I'm going to say. I want to earn God's love. When I understand what I'm saying, I don't think that's true, but my natural bent is to earn what I get. And I think many of us would identify with that, that we want to be good people. We want to earn God's love. We want to earn respect. But it doesn't work that way with God. We receive God's love because he has chosen to give it to us. So we love because of Christ's love. So we choose to give to others what God has given to us. I don't love others because they've earned it. You will find, if you haven't already, that there are people in life that do not deserve your love. They treat you terribly or speak terribly about you, or they're just not good people in general. They don't deserve your love, but we're still called to love them. Doesn't mean that we have to associate closely with them or we don't have boundaries. But a disposition of love is commanded for us to have towards them from God. We're commanded from God to have a disposition of love for them. God's love caused him to move to action. In the chapter, go back to Ephesians 5:2, walk in the way of love just as what? as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. So the reason we love is because we follow Jesus, and we follow Jesus because he loved us. 1 John 4, a small letter towards the end of the New Testament, says we love because he, and he is Christ, first loved us. Walk in love. We walk in love because Jesus first loved us. Before we ever did anything, Romans 5:8. For God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get our act together. He said, I'm going to go get you right now. I'm going to go die for you right now. I'm going to give my life for you right now while you don't deserve it, so that you can be brought in. So we love because of Christ's love. And the third one is this. We love as Christ loved us. So the first one is we walk in love. The second one is we do it because. And the third one is we do it as. This is how we do it. This is how we do it. Okay, two of you. Three of you. All right. So this is how we live out God's love in our life. We look to Jesus and we follow his example. We imitate, just like the little boy was imitating his father at the table. We look to him and say, I see what you're doing. I'm going to do the same thing. I see what you're doing. I'm going to do the same thing. Ephesians 5:2, we walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So specifics. What are some specifics? I had a high school football coach that said Pacific. We got three specific things we're going to work on today. And so we have a few specifics. So I get it honestly. A few specifics we can look at. And if you'll back up from chapter 5, verse 1, and go back into the last verse of chapter 4. Remember, when Paul wrote this letter, he didn't write chapter 1, verse 1. Those are things that we put in hundreds of years later so that we could better find references for where we're going in the letters that are collectively brought together and the other books that are brought together for the Bible. So he was writing verse 34, 32, and right after that was verse 5, 1. So they're connected. They go together. And he says to this, he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ, God forgave you. So by nature, we're takers. That's what kids do. We take what we need. Some of that's good. We need to take food. We need to eat food. We know there are things we need. But it goes over to selfishness when we start taking from others that which we don't need, or taking from others even things we need. That's without permission. But God is not a taker. God is a giver. And so we start to shift from being takers to being givers. We become givers when the Spirit of God transforms us from the inside out. That now instead of responding in kind, for example, someone's angry and cursing me and I respond in kind, angry and cursing back. Easy to do in New York. A lot of anger, a lot of cursing. A lot of reasons to get frustrated. But instead of doing that, now I respond with kindness. Be kind. Be compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. I do for others that which God has already done for me. That's about as simple as I can put it. When that happens, when we understand the great depths of what God has done for us, then now we've become cheerful givers, which Paul talks about in one of his letters. Be a cheerful giver. And we also learn to give without the need for a big word here, reciprocity. I'm able to give to you without expecting something back. I'm able to give to you without wanting or needing something back. I give because of what has already been given. I'll close with this. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. In everything, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So as we get ready to launch out over these next few weeks, or this next week, today, and going forward, I want to challenge us to have a giving spirit. Like, what can I do to emulate Jesus today? What can I do to emulate Jesus through this week leading up to the next Sunday? Sundays are going to be crucial and vital and exciting for me going forward. There's a rebirth of freshness that God has stirred into my spirit, and I see it in others as well, and I know that it's going to snowball, and we're going to see people get excited about what God is doing. They're little things. Look for little, like, parking spots. It happened the other, we joked about it last Sunday. We weren't joking. We were having fun with it. It wasn't a joke, but we were like delighting. Like, oh, look, there's another parking spot God gave us with all this stuff we got to load in right here in front of the church. And there's little things like these speakers right here that I called Larry about and said, hey, we got some speakers we're going to use, but they're probably good for this Sunday, but do you happen to have any extra? He's like, bro, we just installed a brand new system into our church, and we have the old system that's actually really good. And we were like, we want to keep this, but we don't want to store it because we want to use it every now and then for events, which we work with them on the big events, right? And so we're scratching each other's backs. We're using this new system, and they don't have to store it anymore. So little things like that turn out to be big things, to say, all right, hey, God just might be in this thing. And so as we look forward, I have a lot of like things this week especially, because there's a lot of things to think through. Print, you know, who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Setting things up, new church, yada, 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 right? We were in a groove at the other place, even in a grove. Grove 34, for those of you online. Just add another zero. Or, oh, not a zero. Anyway, we were in a groove for a while. Now we're in a new pattern of doing things. And if you're not careful, you can start to get frazzled with that. And what I would like to do is just keep it really simple. I want you to follow Jesus. I just want you to follow him. Specifically, be kind, compassionate, forgiving one another, God in Christ has forgiven you. Those are specifics. Follow Jesus, and he'll fill in the blanks. He'll give you the parking spots. He'll give you the visions. He'll do what he needs to do in order for you to take that next step to follow him. Just follow Jesus. Jesus said over and over, I picked one from Matthew 9. Jesus went on from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax booth, which was not the typical person that you would reach out to be part of your following. The tax collector was hated by his own people and the Romans. And Jesus looked at Matthew and he said these two words. He said, follow me. And Matthew got up and he followed him. So my challenge for me and for you this week is when Jesus says, follow me, that we just get up and follow him. Just follow him. It will change your life. Wherever you are, Jesus is saying to you right now, follow me. Be like me. Obey me. Do what I've commanded you to do. When you do these things, just like that little boy and his dad in the movie Jaws, there was this moment of intimacy where they just connected. And it's a powerful, beautiful moment. You can just Google it, you can see it, but it makes more sense within the context of how much strain the dad was under for them to connect on that moment. It created intimacy. And the more we follow Jesus, the more intimacy and comfort and joy we're going to have because we are in the presence of God. So my challenge to you is for, and challenge to me, is for all of our good to follow Jesus. Lord, we want to thank you so much for giving us everything that we need in you. Lord, I thank you that you are a good Father, that you desire to give us a very simple message this morning, just to follow you and to be who you've called us to be. And figuring that out can be just as simple as getting up and following you. So, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for this new church space that you've opened up for us. Lord, I pray that as we move forward in these next few weeks, you will fill these pews to overflowing, that people will praise the name of the Lord Jesus from here, that you would help us to grow numerically, but also definitely spiritually, that we would find our intimacy with you growing and growing and growing as we have moment after moment of following you and trusting you in Jesus' name.